Fellow Freedom fans, you're listening to Preservative Talk Radio, brought to you by Freedom Ministries, where we confront the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Find out more at PreservativeTalkRadio.com. Now let's go to our pre-recorded broadcast. We're back in. By the way, the number here is 888-248-2046, 888-248-2046. Had not a good time today reading a textbook for American government. And so it was one of these things where they were talking about federalism and what the problems are with federalism. So we'll be talking about this today. I'm going to continue with something I was mentioning yesterday. Again, the number here is 888-248-2046. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This Preservative Talk Radio, hopefully it is going to be preservative. It's going to be educational. And so I'm going to bring up some of the things, again, that I was saying yesterday. I'm going to be reading out of, it's going to be Sir William Blackstone's 1766 publication, and part of it here. It's Commentaries on the Laws of England. I'm going to be reading the parts out of The Absolute Rights of Individuals. But I was thinking today about this government class. And some of the things that are going on, some of the things that are in the news, as I was just looking at the news, here's a headline that I saw on Chattanoogan.com. TWRA, that's the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency, will no longer allow off-road vehicles on its Etna Mountain property. Reading that after reading a section of this government textbook about federalism and this encroachment, the steadily encroachment of Congress, the federal government's power, not just Congress, but federal government agencies, executive departments, things like that. And then I read this article here where they're saying that they've had a public comment period and they've decided that they're not going to have four-wheelers on Etna Mountain. And I thought about that and I read through it. And they say they must conform to national standards. Actually, they don't need to conform to national standards. Not by law. But maybe United States law. Only if Tennessee has opted into a benefit relationship where they're subject to somebody else's rules. Considering the decisions in Prince and Mack versus the United States, where they said that the Congress had no authority to have really any direct power on the land of the states unless that is expressly given to the federal government. In fact, they really don't have enforcement power. They actually have to come to the locality and have locality enforce those powers. So as I was considering this thing and I thought, well, hey, folks, use it or lose it. As I went through this and I was reading the thing in the textbook today about the American government and this encroachment of federal power, it comes down to use it or lose it. And what it is, it's again the land of the free, the home of the brave. If you're not going to exercise your freedom and your bravery, you're going to abdicate it. That's just the way it is. I was reading today Federalist Paper number 51. And where I found it on the internet, it titled it was either by James Madison or Alexander Hamilton. I think it was Madison, but I'm not really sure. The writing style would be his, but it's very pro-federalism, which was a strong suit of Alexander Hamilton. But as it went through this Federalist Paper 51, it talks about this ambition competing against ambition, this plan to calm people's fears. People fear that this central national government will take over and that will subdue the states. States will be overwhelmed by it. And there was a plea to people then of New York to explain to them why that would never happen. And see, like they were in my terms, they would be like saying, hey, use your heads, think about it. People are concerned about things that are happening near them, not things that are happening far away. I mean, anything that the federal government tries to do is going to encroach on the localities, and localities are going to just be naturally defending their stuff. So it says, well, we've set up the separation of powers. We have not just separate branches, executive, judicial, legislative. We have different houses with different interests in the House or in the Congress. So we have a Senate and they have a House. They have some competition between them, some ambition competing against ambition. And then, but wait, not only that, we have a federal government only concerned with these things expressly delineated here in this Constitution. And then we also have a separate government, all completely autonomous, the states. And they're going to be concerned with the things like whether or not you can have a four-wheel drive vehicle on a particular mountain in Tennessee. That's not Congress's business. So that's what they were pleading in Federalist 51 as I read that today. And then I read this textbook where it goes on and tells all these times when the federal government has encroached upon those things that ought to be the states. And it just hit me as I was reading that and I was reading Federalist 51. And now I read this article on Chattanoogan.com about TWRA saying, hey, no longer will off-road vehicles be on the Etna Mountain property. We've got these national standards, which are actually global United Nations Committee member standards that are being imposed, even without the signing a ratification of a treaty. It's just happening. And I thought, you know what the problem is, folks? It's not Congress's fault. It's not the executive branch of the United States government. It's not their fault. It's not the judicial branch. It's not their fault. I'll come back to that here in a minute. And I can't say it's the state legislature's fault. It is. We'll come back. Again, I'll come back to that. Because why does the judiciary rule things that says, oh, the federal government can do the following things? Well, it turns out that your legislature has passed laws that forces themselves to go to adhere to a federal program. If the state legislature doesn't pass a law directing state agents to do a federal thing, the federal thing never happens. Those people working in your state government don't have to obey the federal law. They have to obey the state law. So there is a problem there. Now, once the state has told itself to do the following federal thing, the federal government, all they do is say, hey, you've decided to live this lifestyle that this Congress has laid the bait at your way, and you as a legislature in the state have determined you're going to behave that way. And once you do, well, you're bound to obey those upon whom you depend. It's a maxim in law. It just is. So, yes, we're going to rule with the federal government. If the states were not tapping into the funding stream, then it would be ruled just the exact opposite. And there's evidence of that in several Supreme Court rulings where it wasn't that a certain program that the state had opted into for money when it was just raw. Do they have to obey the federal government? Do they have to obey the statutes of the United States in the state? And the Supreme Court said, no, you don't. You're autonomous. So what's the problem? What's the problem? David Allen Carmichael, this is what I call preservative talk radio. It's my faith and freedom show. We engage these issues on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong. I say often our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. And that's kind of what I see. So in this textbook today, and I don't have it in front of me, it's around here someplace. Well, actually, I do have it in front of me, sadly. I hadn't opened it. But listen, see that? I don't know if you can hear that. One of the things it says, and I'm going to try to see if I can find it real quickly. It's just one of these things where it says that bad Supreme Court has done the following thing. Well, the Supreme Court can't do the following things. Federalism today. Today, the states labor under the mandates of the national government with little funding to pay for it. Folks, there are no mandates. It's impossible. There's no such thing as a federal mandate. They can't mandate the states do anything. So look what this, and I'm going to tell you who this is. This is A. Becker book, American Government and Christian Perspective, second edition. I'm going to have to talk to these high schoolers and explain to them these things. Listen to what it says. Today, the states labor under the mandates of the national government with little funding to pay for it. There are no mandates. The Real ID. Everybody complained about the Real ID. No state was obligated to do anything. If you read the real ID, it says, if a person wants a benefit from a federal program, their identification card must meet the following requirements. Has nothing to do with the states. It's for those of you people who want to tap into the funding stream of the federal sword, you can get a welfare benefit. You're going to have to go find some way to get a ID card that meets a certain requirement. You know what? If the states didn't do anything and nobody had that ID, guess what? It would be ignored. Our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. It's the land of the free and the brave. You got to have enough bravery to go and say, no, we're not going to get the stupid ID. And so what would happen is they'd step back. Well, we're going to put this off for another 6 months. Well, they would either repeal it or they'd put it off indefinitely. Because if the states don't implement an ID program, the ID will not exist. You say everybody in Tennessee is not going to be able to tap into this welfare benefit. Of course they want you to tap into the welfare benefit. It behooves them to have as many people on dependent when it comes to election time, as an example. It's something to think about. This textbook says the slow erosion of state authority has come about and continues mostly as a result of the relationship between the Supreme Court and Congress. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I'm going to have to, this is wrong. It isn't a result of relationship between the Supreme Court and Congress. Since the 1930s, both institutions have allowed each other to exercise control over the states to unprecedented extents. Congress has refused to use its constitutional authority to check the power of the judiciary, and the court has failed to rightly judge the constitutionality of legislation by Congress. As a result, the federal government has acquired a stronghold over the states through the Supreme Court and Congress. Well, what we're forgetting is many of these cases that support an act of Congress are things for which the state has tapped into a funding stream. Read Section 666 of the Federal Welfare Code. You get all the way to the back of the little write-up on Section 666, and the states wouldn't have to obey Section 666 of the Federal Welfare Code if they weren't tapping into the funding stream. In fact, if you don't obey it, you know what the result is? The Secretary of Health and Human Services may, doesn't have to, but may cut off the state from funding. So that's what's up. There's no mandate. The court's not saying they have the power to enforce, to implement, to force upon states Section 666 of the Federal Welfare Code. They don't have to do it. There's no powers. There's no authority. But when the states opt into the program and then complain about it, there was one case that said, well, we asked for a waiver and they turned us down. Well, it says in the law, you can ask, the state could ask the Secretary of Health and Human Services for a waiver over this certain portion of Section 666, and they could turn him down and say no. And you know what? If the state is brave enough, they'll just still ignore the provision and carry on smartly and dare the federal government to not support, you know, continue providing funds for those hundreds of thousand people in the state that are dependent. But it comes down to, folks, in anything you do, you have to stand your ground. A little bit of chivalry is what's going to keep America free and safe. If we're not able to do that, if we don't have the moral fortitude to pull that off, it's all done. It's all a wash. We're going to come back. David Allen Carmichael, Preservative Talk Radio on this Faith and Freedom. Come back and we're actually going to be reading the absolute rights of individuals. What are they? What is retained in that Constitution Bill of Rights?